I'm Adam.
And I'm Meg.
And we're going to watch Breaking Bad.
In reverse.
Breaking backwards? Good evening.
Hello, everyone. Hello, everybody.
Welcome to Breaking Backwards. It's wonderful for you to join us today. We're happy to have you here on this Sunday.
It's a Saturday.
Well, it is for us, but I'm assuming they're listening on a Sunday.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, that's a good day for podcasts.
That's a 1 in 7 chance of me seeming like a fucking wizard.
You do have some pretty witchy vibes about you.
Yeah, so like if they're like, holy shit, this episode dropped on a Wednesday, but I'm listening to it Sunday, and he knew. Oh!
Yeah.
Which is what our listeners sound like.
They're pretty blown away all the time, it's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's the podcast where we listen to Breaking Bad in reverse. You heard that in the intro. Well, I've seen it, and Meg hasn't. we just watched season 4. Well, okay, we're in our second season of Breaking Backwards. And we just watched episode 2 of season 2. It's called End Times.
And it was a very paranoid thrill ride, it seemed like.
Yeah, it felt like something out of a Thomas Pynchon novel.
Because it was so intense.
Yeah, he writes about paranoia a lot, and I bring him up only just to virtue signal at a few of our listeners, like, I read Thomas Pynchon. Look at me.
I certainly don't, so I guess the rest of our listeners will be like, oh.
I read Gravity's Rainbow, and I had no idea what was going on, but I read it. The words did go through my eye holes.
There's that line in that movie we saw about Gravity's Rainbow.
In the movie we talk about all the time.
Yeah, the one movie we've seen
sexy
together.
Daniel Craig. What's it called? Knives Out.
Yeah. He says something about like the impetus of Gravity's Rainbow. And then she goes, I haven't read that book. And he goes, no one has. And,
yeah. Oh, didn't I lean over to you and I went, I have.
I mean, that sounds familiar.
Sounds like something I would do in a theater. man, remember theaters?
Those were blessed. They're trying to reopen them. And I think that is premature.
Ooh, bad idea.
Yeah.
Fucking capitalism, man.
Yeah, there's a very big portion of my Facebook friends list that is like, we still go to restaurants and we're going to continue to do that. And then the actual process of going to a restaurant, at least where I'm at, is like the definition of just like forced consumption. It's not like an enjoyable experience, and I don't really understand why anybody would do it, you know, but...
Here, they're open, and just like the tables are just like every other.
Yeah. But then the servers are wearing masks. Yeah, right.
Yeah. So who knows? Bad.
Yeah.
It's bad. It's gonna be weird listening to this in the future when they're like, "Shit, yeah, remember that virus year?
The year that
weird.
Didn't exist." Yeah.
Weird. We forgot about that. before we continue on with the episode, we do have a correction to make. I brought this up to you over text the other day. Yeah, a few episodes ago, I was talking about how much I like cereal, and you said, oh, is there any cereal jobs in Iowa? And I said, no, I don't think they make any cereal here. And we had a listener write in saying that you thick-skulled motherfucker, they make a ton of cereal in Iowa, so I am sorry. I would like to read exactly what he wrote.
Abrasive comment. Wow.
It was very abrasive. He wrote, Iowa very famously has a lot of cereal manufacturing. And I said, which brands? And he goes, well, there isn't a Lucky Charms plant and a Cinnamon Toast Toast Crunch plant, you idiot. Are you that dense? General Mills and Quaker have huge production facilities in Iowa.
Why is he so intense?
Why do you gotta be so mean, this random listener?
Who would... Because if you knew him, you would hope that someone who knew and cared about you wouldn't be so mean.
If this was like a family member, I'd be so hurt.
Yeah, because like that's just uncalled for to get that angry.
If it was like a family, like the family member I regularly mention on the show who's being a good listener, if it was him, yeah, that would hurt my feelings so much.
I would feel bad for you if that was one of your own family members, because family is supposed to love each other and support each other and only offer helpful criticism.
True. Yeah. But luckily, this was just some stranger.
Yeah.
Some dipshit. So we're going to move on.
Well, he sounded grumpy either way.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to try to get one of those jobs.
Oh, you're going to get one of those sweet cereal jobs?
Yeah. One of those where you just sit on the conveyor belt and you just grab pieces and go, good, 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 bad.
A quality assurance tester, I guess. I don't know.
Hell fucking yeah.
That's good.
And the best part is there's no carbs in cereal, so you can stay in shape.
That's true. That's what it's known for. It's basically a guiltless food that's nothing but mm-hmm. nutritious.
Yeah. Anyway, welcome to the Breaking Bad podcast. we watched End Times. And Meg, yeah, you said this episode is paranoid. Now I'm paranoid to know. Did you like it?
I liked it, but I didn't like it as much as last week's episode.
Yeah, fair. Fair, fair, fair. Even though, like, so this was a penultimate in regular order, and last episode was a finale, so naturally they're better. Even in, like, if pretending this was, like, a normal season of television, the premiere usually is, like, pretty banging because they've been off for a while. And then the second episode usually slow things down a little bit. So
true. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will.
So, you know.
Okay. Good point. Good point. I felt as though this one was very confusing and emotion driven in ways I didn't understand because I don't know what like the origin of those emotions were yet. So that's why I kept being like, I feel lost. I don't know that I should be.
Yeah. Unlike Hazard Pay, which I thought was like not that great in reverse order just because it was kind of boring.
Mm-hmm.
This one is also maybe the second worst in reverse order just because so much of it was like, oh, I'll definitely need to explain that. Like, it's just because I'm like, oh, this doesn't really work in the reverse order as much.
No, yeah, I figured it just seems as though, like, whatever we see next week, there'll have been some big decisions made, yeah, and they're going to be reacting, and this episode is them reacting to those decisions.
Yep. The next episode I'd say it's my second or third favorite of the fourth season. I love the next two are really, really, really good.
Mm.
And then it kind of slows down a little bit, spoilers. but yeah, the next two, dope. Especially the one, why am I doing this? Why am I just talking about episodes we're not talking about? What the fuck is wrong with me?
It's okay. You're just enjoying the moment. They haven't.
At some point, if someone's listening to this like a year from now, those next two are available, and then you just listen to that episode, and they're like, yeah, Adam says the one they're talking about shitty. Don't listen. I feel like such a dick right now.
Honestly, I think you're being a little too hard on yourself. You were just having a moment. This show is, a little bit too much about me, so it's okay when you take a moment to really relish in what you're excited about.
I doubt our listeners. I think our listeners would be like, it's kind of nice when Meg gets a chance to talk.
I just mean,
I feel
like
I make the show way too much about me.
No, I just mean like it's really about like this lady who's watching it backwards.
Oh, true.
And her friend guiding her through it. And maybe sometimes people just want to hear a true fan get excited about something. So
that is true. I do like listening to people get excited about stuff. I don't like listening to people dunk on stuff.
Yeah.
Unless it's like shockingly bad.
Hearing people dunk on people I know who I don't like. That's a thing.
Well,
I really
enjoy. Everyone loves that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I get a reputation at work and I don't know where it came from, 'cause I don't really do this as like someone who takes things that people like and like shits on it. And I know people like that, but I don't think that's me. And I think it just 'cause I didn't like The Mandalorian. It was 'cause we have to talk about Star Wars each episode.
Did that opinion, is that a new thing at your work? Like,
The Mandalorian went over very well at my work.
And so you're the only one who disliked it?
Yeah. And I wasn't like, this is poopy dog shit. I was like, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's okay.
You've always been a real live and let live type of man. So I think that your assessment of their assessment is, I think they're wrong for giving you that. That's all.
Okay. Well, thank you. Yeah. Meg props me up, everyone. Okay.
But if you ever dish on Sabrina, The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina,
I would like to watch that. It got canceled, though, didn't it?
Well, here's my deal. It's not canceled because it's poor quality or even poor viewership. It's canceled because of the business practices at Netflix, which basically say after four seasons, they're not going to be able to get any new viewers or attract any new viewers, which is supremely disrespectful to the fans, because it's like, come on, I am really invested in that show. I watch it immediately when it comes out. A lot of people do. And just because you can't get more viewers with it, you're not going to keep investing the time in it. It's really unfair, you know?
I don't tend to watch Netflix original shows. I don't like the drop it all at once model.
Mm.
And I like having to wait a week. and so, well, and I think that makes the show better. I think they, my favorite season, I did watch Orange is the New Black, or at least the first four seasons. And the first season, they didn't know, like, Netflix was going to drop it all at once.
Mm.
And so each episode ends with, like, a fucking banger. And you're like, oh, shit, what's going to happen next? But then the rest, like, they knew. And so the episodes just kind of end.
They just kind of peter out.
They kind of, yeah, I mean, they're good. That second season's really good.
Yeah, there's definite like act breaks in Sabrina. I'm trying to think of what else I've watched on Netflix outside of like Tiger King. That's a Netflix original series and not an animated
I've watched
thing.
A buttload of documentaries. I'm mostly talking about dramas.
Yeah, but anyhow,
documentaries. Are
so
the best. They should make more of those.
Going back to Breaking Bad.
Sorry, yeah. Guys, it's a loose one.
We're keeping it loosey-goosey this time.
Mm-hmm.
So
Meg surfed, but I'm drinking coffee right now, and I know I texted you I was tired. I'm kind of jacked up just from the half cup of coffee I just had.
And I'm dragging a lot of ass. I had
That's
a
okay.
great
I'll,
surf.
I'll carry that ass. How was your surf?
It was great. Mm-hmm. I was actually, this is the first time this has ever happened to me, but I was the best person surfing my break. So
shit, yeah.
A lot of people were like, look at you. How do you do that? And I was like, yeah, ask me questions. But then later on in the surf, some lady would not get away from me. And because I'm a goofy footer, I always, my like good side is like when I ride a wave heading to the left, and she was always on my left side, and it was hard to catch waves.
You're goofy footed?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
It's bad that when I imagine like a good surf trick, the first thing that came to my head just now was you're on your board, right? And like you're the wave, and like you just as a person jump and spin 180, and then you just jump again and spin 180, which I know, like, I don't think physically is possible. Well, might be.
Like it's, you're imagining it like it's like a skating trick or something, it feels like.
I guess, yeah.
I do sometimes, like, if I'm shit, I'll, like, do a little hop on my board to, like, shimmy to the front of it.
Yeah.
But,
or, like, do you ever, like, I don't know, just a quick, like, stand on one hand and, like, tap your toe with the other hand while the toes are in the air.
I don't do that. No, I don't know that
okay.
I could.
Because that'd be dope.
That would be cool if I had that much. I don't have that. So, like, just riding the wave is a part of me now where I'm like, okay, I can consistently, like, get up on a wave and ride the face of it and, like, slow down and speed up as I need to. But there are people who can do, like, actual big tricks. I can't do that.
Growing up with, like, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater and SSX Tricky kind of ruined me for stuff like this. Because, like, you enter the right button combination, you're doing the fucking worm on a snowboard. And when you can't do that in real life, it's like, well, this is just dog shit.
Yeah, that's fair.
But anyway, what a show, Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad.
I guess since we're talking about snowboarding, we should put on our jackets.
Oh, because it's so cold.
It's so cold. And then this cold open. And zip!
I have buttons on mine.
And just for the listener, when me and Meg do the cold open jacket thing, we actually do pretend to put jackets on. both of us can confirm on the other person.
Yeah. Sometimes I watch Adam do a fake little, like, jaunt outside and open up his car and look through his shit. Yeah. He's very good at object work.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. What happens to the cold open?
Oh, the cars show up and I went, the boys are back in town.
Yep, you did. That was funny.
I actually thought they were the bad guys from the last episode.
Oh.
And so I was like, oh, they're good guys. Or, I mean.
Yep, no, they're good boys.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Police are complicated right now.
Yeah, I guess, like, they're not there to immediately, like, harm anyone, as far as I can tell.
They're there to protect the whites, figuratively and literally.
Yes. oh, boy.
Okay. Yeah, well, race stuff on this podcast?
No,
sure.
Thank you.
All right. Walt's like, pack the baby. And
she puts her in
Skyla's
a suitcase.
Like, yeah, she's like, did we have enough wipes?
And they're like, yes, we also need some more diapers. I don't know. Yeah, baby stuff.
Wait, Meg, you're a mother. You're packing your baby. You don't realize you have to make this trip. What are the things you need to throw in a bag?
diapers, just like as many onesies as possible. Mm-hmm. And she's still breastfeeding. So, it really would just be as many diapers, wipes as possible. And
I don't know if it's confirmed she ever breastfeeds.
Well, I have this information that I've come to this conclusion, I guess I should say, that...
Oh, because doesn't Hank say they... Yeah,
this came from her tit, right? So at the very least, she expresses breast milk. Anyways...
She could have a wet nurse.
There's another part to the family, and it's a wet nurse.
We just don't see it. They're wet nurse.
Yeah, it's like... It's,
they got it from an app. They got Uber apps for everything.
Wow. Okay, so...
Their unseen wet nurse is also...
has already got a go bag, is ready at all times.
Who is canon, this wet nurse? we'll be bringing her up a lot. She does not ever appear on screen, but she's there.
She's a vital part of the family because she feeds a baby. So there's that. Holly.
Do you know the baby's name? Okay, Holly. I was like, oof.
I knew it. I got there. Uh-huh. They have said it. And so Skyler's like, pack your toothbrush, pack everyone's toothbrushes. And Walter goes, no, I'm not coming. Nope, 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 nope.
And then Skylar's like, but your teeth will be so gross.
Yeah, you have already dragon breath. I don't know what you want me to say. And then Walt kind of tiptoes around the fact that he's kind of about to welcome death, it seems like.
Mm-hmm. And it's very poignant.
Yeah, Skylar's like, stop it. Just don't die right now. And he's like, no, as long as I'm alive, you'll all be in danger, which it seems like he just wants to get the death out of the way first, because it doesn't seem like Gus would not then kill the rest of them, right?
Unclear. They reference a threat that Gus makes to Walt, and I think you need the full context of that threat in order to have that.
Okay, fair.
Breadth of knowledge. So I will just say unclear.
Okay.
For now. Or I'll do the lamer thing and be like, I don't know.
and then they put the baby in the car, and I had some, like, I was just like, you know, for feasibility-wise, we didn't need to install the car seat base and the car seat, because I
didn't understand what you meant by that. So
remember when
listener,
he was, like, strapping in the plastic thing, and she's like, yeah, feed it through there.
Yeah, and I thought that was cool.
That's the base of the car seat. It's for convenience, and then the car seat itself snaps into that, and you can just, like, place it in and out. But also, like, I'd have to do this a lot in Chicago when I take my kids to, like, the pediatrician. I didn't have a car. You can just strap it with the car seat. There's a certain way you can strap it without the base. That's all.
And they had these back then?
Absolutely, yes. You
didn't have, like, the Rolls Royce of car seats?
No, not at all. No, I had the standard model Greco baby thing, you know.
Well, Skylar's a bad mom.
Oh, no, she's like, these
or
people are coming
mom,
to kill us,
mom?
And we better install the car seat base correctly. That's all.
I gotcha.
So then they leave, and the baby cries, and is that the end of the cold open, or am I getting ahead of myself?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it's a lot of Walter just going, I'm the target. They're going to come after me. Yarr. and then after that, we get a scene that is just not that good in reverse order, which is Walt playing Twister with his gun.
I considered this gun tarot readings, where he, like, just thinks about a question and spins his gun and it points back at him.
I mean, obviously it points to the Lily of the Valley. You know that because you've seen everything. You've seen the big twist at the end of next episode. When we were watching this in chronological order, it just kind of like, there's a lot of in the room like, wait, what? What? Because it pans over to that plant. And like, if you don't know what it is, you're like, what the fuck's he looking at?
Yeah.
But a scheme he doth concocts. What'd you think?
Well, I knew that he was going to scheme something with that plant, that he had a big idea. He was looking for his angles there. I guess I didn't really understand. The thing that I got so confused at was, like, I really thought there was going to be a scene where, like, Walt, like, either creeps up to Brock and is like, you ever tried mm-hmm. these? Like, or...
Yeah, the only problem is just it's a twist that Walt even was the one who poisoned him at all at the end. So it's like they had to keep that off screen. But that is a problem with how we're watching it, since you already knew that shit. And if something's mentioned, you have no way of knowing if it happened off screen or not, just like Todd starting that fire.
Yeah, so true. Yeah. So, all good. But I just also felt mm-hmm. like... now I don't know how he conceivably got Brock to eat those things. But you said they inferred it somehow, right?
Yeah, well, actually, Vince Gilligan says so in an interview that I pulled up, and I can read that later.
Okay, cool.
Once we get to that scene with Jesse, I can... The whole, like, Lily of the Valley, Rice, and Poison Brock plan is kind of, like, for us, done now.
Yeah.
We've seen it from conception. We've seen it to Walt getting caught in the Tahajali episode, where he's like, I knew exactly how much poison to give him, and blah, blah, blah. So I can just kind of say everything about it and explain the nuts and bolts.
Okay.
And we can do that later in the episode.
Okay.
Or we can. If you don't want to hear it, it's up to you. You're a free person.
Okay, thank you. Well, mm-hmm. Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, you're doing. We're crushing it.
So then we go from the gun spinning plant scheming thing. I think, is that when we go, we're back at Hank's house, right?
Yeah, God, you have a fucking good memory. Because I have this pulled up, and you don't. And I'm like, I wonder if she'll get this right, and you always do. yeah, I don't know if you noticed, Walt kind of just disappears in the episode for like 25 minutes.
I did notice that. I kept expecting to go back and see him, like, doing something. But alas, you're right. It would have tipped mm-hmm. it too much to...
Yeah. Do go on.
So it seems as though Hank is trying to... Okay, so Finn is pissed. And I like seeing mad a little, actually. I don't know why.
It made you mad that Flynn is pissed?
No, I liked it that Flynn was pissed. I was like, yeah, be a little mad. He has no idea what he's talking about. And it's
Dude,
funny
he's
to
just
see him
hard
get...
as a rock. And he he needs to go... He needs to go... finish himself off so that he can calm down.
Is that just what it's like to be a teenager. Teenage boy? Just like pissed off because he's just gotta get off. Yeah.
You're mad and then you jerk off and then you're like fine for 20 minutes.
And then it's just worse again.
Then you're mad again.
Oh God. So then he's just mad. Like nobody gets it. And I felt bad for him, you know, cause it seems.
He is kind of right.
Yeah. Yeah. If out of everybody, he's the one being gaslit the most. It makes sense why when the last time he talks to his dad, he's like, just die, because it seems like he really fucked with his reality pretty bad.
No, yeah, that actually, I never even thought about that. So that's good. That's good to think about. He does get gaslit the most.
Yeah,
him and Marie, I guess. But I guess Walt doesn't have as much direct contact with Marie.
It definitely.
When she's an adult with agency.
Yeah. It definitely seems like, yeah, they are also the most angry about it.
Yeah. Well, Hank isn't really.
That's right. Like, I think Hank has the satisfaction of having, like, worked it all out himself. Whereas Marie and Flynn just handed this information and they're kind of like, what the fuck? Really? Like, what's going on? So that's when. Hank says, I think Gus Fring is trying to get me out of the way. I think this was the part that confused me the most, was like, I didn't understand why he knew it was Gus, and I didn't understand what he was trying to imply with like them being under house arrest, what Gus was trying to accomplish or whatever.
So that's fine that you'd understand that. That's all stuff that'll become clear. That's stuff that you wouldn't have no way of understanding.
Okay, good.
So so don't feel silly. You're not silly.
I did it. Okay, I've stopped feeling silly right this second.
Thank you.
And now that's when he decides, like, you guys should go check out the laundry. I think there's something going on with the laundry. And Steve is like, hey, I have to go get a warrant. And then Hank's like, or you could do it illegally. And he's like,
they're bad cops. Well, like, they're good at getting the job done, I guess. But they're, like, bad at civil rights.
Yeah, they're bad at, you know, not pushing the boundaries into the gray area of what a cop's allowed to do. I don't like that, you know.
Yeah, if you don't remember, listeners, I'm trying to be more cognizant of, like, people not watching through with us because I realize a lot of people probably aren't. But because this scene I would have forgot about. Steve goes to the laundromat and makes up this whole fucking story about catching a chef with heroin who's the son of a senator. And the son of a senator says that his it wasn't his. It probably is the place he gets his chef wife's laundered at, which is the laundromat, which is just a bullshit story that Steve came up with. And it's good. It's a great story. as a way for him to be like, dude, I'm on your side. I just want to look around here with my guy. But we can get a warrant and bring like 20 agents in and freaks that poor man out.
And that poor man ends up getting burnt in prison as a result.
Yeah.
I guess.
Oh, wait. Oh, we were trying to figure out who Dennis was earlier, and that's definitely Dennis.
But so Dennis is absolutely not an under five.
Yeah, not an under. Me and Meg are going through the under fives, and we're like, Dennis Markowski? Who's that? And I just remembered. We chatted literally. We said, oh, dumb old Dennis.
Dennis.
Mm-hmm.
So he
takes a bunch of pictures with his digital camera.
They let a doggy sniff around. Finds nothing. Mm-hmm. Hank's going to be so embarrassed.
It was really cute. I love that he said, what'd you find, boy? And the dog shakes his head no. It was a very cute scene. Sorry.
No, I don't remember what he said.
There was a second of like, I want to take this further. And then I'm like, no, I don't. But they cut down to Jesse and Tyrus.
Oh, and yeah, they're not cooking much. They're very, very quiet.
Yeah, they're playing hide and seek.
Very, very quiet about it.
Yeah, like, I don't. He goes, Tyrus, I think love is when you see a girl and you're passing each other on your bicycles and both of you go back on the same spot the next day just hoping that the other one will be there. And you're right.
And Tyrus goes, I think love is when... Oh, I don't even have a good example. I think love is...
Just go from your heart.
Okay, when you go and you ride the Metro into the city and you see a pretty guy hanging out there. He's at the top, but you only can find spots at the bottom of the train. You can't go up on the top part of the train. So the next day, you go to the top part of the train, but he saw you, and he's at the bottom part of the train trying to sit next to you.
How are you going to meet?
How are you going to do it? And that's what love is.
The train's full again. That's what love is. Well, anyway, yeah, that's... We don't usually read directly like from the episode transcript, but we just did.
And we did a good job capturing the whole vibe of the scene, too. Mm-hmm. So be impressed, listeners.
Yeah, good job. Hey, Vince Gilligan, remember this. Anyway, he's making more shit. And then Gus calls Tyrus.
And
Tyrus is kind of a dick about handing the phone over.
Yeah, what was the point of, like, his boss wants to talk to Jesse, and he's like, nuh-uh.
I'll put it on speaker.
Yeah.
I don't want your dumb ear on my phone.
Yeah.
On my cordless house phone.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Well, I guess they'd have bad reception down there. I don't know what else to say.
I suppose. But anyway, yeah, they kind of inferred. I said the fucking word again. But I haven't heard a text from Ben in a while, so I think he stopped listening.
I think he's a little busy lately.
He is busy right now with real life stuff.
So we get it.
Boy, we're gonna get a lot of texts from him once he finally decides to catch up.
He'll definitely have words for both of us that we've both said incorrectly.
Anyway, Gus is like, let me kill Walt. Come on, man. And Jesse's like, nah.
Please don't.
I prefer if you didn't. He's a nice man.
We're going to have problems if you do.
Jesse, once again, killing it in fashion. Love his shirt. someday if the show gets popular enough, I want someone to send me every shirt Jesse wears so I can wear them because I'd look really good in them.
Do you think Garrett Paul kept all of his weird, like, Tom Hardy shirts or whatever it's called?
I know he definitely doesn't dress like that in real life because I've seen him, like, around.
Oh.
Because, yeah, we're in the...
Well, because of the business, yeah.
Yeah. We see, yeah. I call him Aaron.
I call him Big A.
You call him Paul?
Yeah.
Big A.
They hide in their little hidey hole, and what happens next?
Then I believe it cuts to a commercial break.
Oh.
They have like there's two Honey Nut Cheerios commercials, and then it came back. They're dropping Jesse off where his car is, and he pulls out his dope ass camera phone.
Oh yes. And oh yes.
Yes, dude, it's a phone. It flips up. You can take pictures. Send them to your friends. Send them to your family. And then what'd you say? I brought this up in the chat. And what'd you say the con of having a camera on your phone is?
I am repeating this as something I heard in my sophomore year of high school when camera phones became a thing. Somebody in my child development class told me that they didn't want a camera phone because they go to a lot of places they are not supposed to. And their dad mm-hmm. would probably ask them to send pictures of wherever they are right then and there in front of whatever. And so if you were supposed to, if you were at a place you weren't supposed to otherwise be, you'd get probably grounded. So I just said, you know, something to keep in mind.
I feel like an easy way to get out of that, unless your dad asks for a picture of today's newspaper in frame, is to just take several photos, like up top of places that you should be on a given night your dad needs you to be there, and just have those in the barrel.
Well, I think those old phones actually, like, they had dates in the title. Like, it would be like this, you know what I mean? Not unlike how photos are now, but you could probably cheat it somehow.
I don't know. Yeah, I just knew it. They took a while to send anyway.
Yeah.
And then he has, like, six messages from local hunk Saul Goodman.
And Saul starts off a little amicable and friendly and then quickly escalates into, it's a fucking nightmare, get your ass over here, town.
Yeah. And then he goes over to Saul's. And before we do that, I just realized we skipped a scene because it's nothing happens in it. But for our purposes, we should definitely talk about it.
Okay.
Which is Skylar on the porch.
Oh, because she smokes.
She smokes a cigarette.
Yes, that was lovely.
I'm sorry. I don't know who I'm talking about. Smoking lady on the porch. Because she goes out, holds him up, no cigarette here, asks this man with a large gun, hey, you got a cigarette? And he said, hell yeah, I do. And she sucks in that smoke.
He even lights it for her in like a very mm-hmm. gentlemanly way that I've only seen like men do in movies from the 1940s.
Mm-hmm. It's very good. Very, very great scene.
Very tasteful.
Yeah.
I also thought she just really takes a minute to like savor the rich flavor of tobacco. Just really.
I wonder what brand that was. American Spirit.
I bet it was Camel unfiltered Crush. No matter what.
Oh, like a Lucky Strike.
Is that I don't know much about cigarettes. I'm not going to lie.
I never smoked a lot, but I have smoked a lot. No. I mean, like, I've had friends who smoked. I've had a cigarette now and then. Wouldn't recommend it. It's been like a couple years since, but Lucky Strikes, I think. They're like the old school Mad Men brand, and maybe they come with filters, but I got them for a costume one year where I was going as like a old timey thing. I forget exactly what.
Mm.
And I had a pack of Lucky Strike in my pocket.
And then did you smoke them all?
I think I smoked them. I think I smoked them a little bit, but they were like without filter. I was like, so much smoke.
Yeah, you're kind of a baby with that stuff for sure. No,
yeah, I am a baby. No, you're right. I didn't want to put a cigarette in my mouth. I wanted my baba on my mouth.
So we've got her smoking away, just really savoring uh-huh. life. And then we are.
And she didn't stop at just that one.
No, you could tell she was like, another and another. And the guy was like,
come on, man.
Okay.
It's my only pack. Fucking give it.
She made him fire his gun off into the sky until the front was really hot so that she could light the cigarette that way.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yes.
Yeah, I guess we can go back to Saul's office.
In Saul's office, Jesse walks in and he gets heavily frisked by Huel. And
And you noticed that.
Yes. Well, because you had pointed it out in an episode, like the fourth episode in or whatever.
Oh, right, because Huel does it again to steal his marijuana.
Yes. And so I would guess I always look for that little, like, him seven something in his pocket. And
yep. You're very much not supposed to notice it on your first watch through in the opposite order that we're watching it through. You obviously had a lot of hints that such a thing would happen.
Yes. So then he gets into Saul's office and Saul starts unloading cash on him and says, get the hell out of here. Shit's really hit the fan. I really don't know, outside of the fact that the DEA is kind of sniffing around and Gus is mad, why everybody thinks fleeing town is a good idea, you know?
It will become clear.
Okay, cool.
I'll put that in that camp. Me explaining it would literally just be me explaining the next episode.
So then we know that everybody seems to be pretty much 1 foot out of Albuquerque, about to flee. And is that when Jesse decides to go over to Walt's house and Walt's been just like kind of paranoid?
No, because he needs to find out about, he gets the call from Andrea, I think, first. Yeah. Hold on. Oh, and then Saul tells Jesse about Gus taking him to the desert.
Yes.
And then, and I think pretty soon after he gets a call from Andrea, and she's like, come on, man, get to the hospital.
Yeah, he's real sick. So he gets to the hospital, and her son is getting, you know, transferred into the pediatric ICU, and he's really, really sick. And they won't let Jesse join them in the back. So they so Jesse goes out to have a cigarette. And when he's about to pull a cigarette out, he notices that the ricin cigarette is missing. He tears apart all of the cigarettes and he goes, oh, no. And he storms back into the hospital. And it's like, Andrea, it's ricin poisoning. And she's like, say what? And then he runs away very quickly.
Yeah. So because she's like, it's like the flu, but it gets worse. I don't know.
Okay, yeah, and I remember those were the symptoms that Lydia had in the last episode of this series.
Yeah, if this were written in the intended order, it is kind of cool because we know that that's the ricin symptoms just because of what Walt said to Lydia.
Yeah.
In the premiere. Kind of cool. It's like they intended it.
Yeah, they're giving us like nice little, little tasty in there. Little bread, a lot more of these breadcrumbs.
More of these breadcrumbs we're going to find out more about. It's dope. Yeah, and I think, and you don't really know why he has the ricin in his cigarette yet?
No, I just know that he did have it, yeah.
Yeah, and that'll become clear, and that's good. That's all you really need to know. okay, yeah, then he goes over to Walter's house, I believe. What do you think Walter's plan here is?
So it seems as though initially I thought, hey, he's just like a paranoid mess waiting for death to come. He's all out of options. But then, and it seemed as though his paranoia and his fear were sincere, and maybe part of them were, but it looked like he still like had one last big manipulation of Jesse up his sleeve, which was to frame Gus for poisoning Brock to get Jesse on his side to want to kill Gus so that he can survive.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Okay.
The whole plan, I think, if I could like just boil it down to what actually happens, is Walt needs Jesse on his side to take down Gus. Jesse does not like Walt right now, but does not want Walt to die. And so the scheme he concocts is he wants to make Jesse think. It's weird because he has to make Jesse think that Gus did a thing, which is give Brock ricin. But he also doesn't want Brock to die, so he gives him this thing that he must know does something incredibly similar to ricin but doesn't kill you, to cover up his tracks later, I guess, because then he fools him with the Roomba. And makes him think, like, he just lost the cigarette at his house.
I guess I don't understand what Jesse believed was the motivation for Gus to do this other than to force Jesse's hand into killing Walter. It's hard to follow all this logic.
Yeah, it's very much Joker Dark Knight territory. Yeah, everyone has to do exactly what Walt assumed they would do. I think he wanted Jesse to think, like, he wanted to make it seem like Gus was trying to get a reason for Jesse to want Walt to die. Mm-hmm. And then he kind of got that, and then he manipulated Jesse because it was actually him who did it the whole time. And he implies that Gus has maybe put children in danger before, which you don't know anything about.
I don't, but I will not like to see it later, for sure.
Oh, yeah, you hate it when bad stuff happens to kids.
Yeah, I guess I just can't help it.
And I pulled up this interview with Vince Gilligan, and I don't want you to look at it because it mentions a bunch of stuff from earlier seasons. But he just kind of implies, like, yeah, it happened off screen. He's like, I really would have liked a scene where Walt sneaks up, and he's like, Vince Gilligan says, I imagine he, like, put it in his juice box and, like, put it in his school lunch. But we just couldn't see that for obvious reasons, unless it was a flashback later, which I think would have been kind of cool.
So the other thing that I noticed from this point forward is it seems like every time Brock sees Walt, he's like, there's that fucking guy again. And so he just, like, gives him side eye at both at Jesse's house and Andrea's house. So it seems like, if nothing else, Brock associates Walt with the time he was really sick. So, yeah.
Yeah, I guess. I think it would have been cool. Like, Jesse eventually figures this out just because he kind of pieces it together when Huell steals his marijuana. I think it would have been cool if Brock just would have, like, been like, yeah, that guy was at my school when I was eating lunch the other day.
Yeah.
And he'd be like, what?
Yeah.
But that doesn't happen.
No, he stays quiet about it. Who knows?
But now that we got the nuts and bolts kind of out of the way, did you like the acting in this scene? I think they acted good.
It was very intense acting. I believe they both were feeling strong emotions.
What sort of warm-ups do you think these two men did?
I honestly think anytime Aaron Paul needs to do anything, he just screams into a pillow a lot till he starts to cry.
I can see that, yeah, because he does some good face work.
Yeah, he definitely has these pained faces. He spits a lot. Like, he spits a ton. And then...
looks like Jonathan Groff in the Hamilton live tape.
Oh, you didn't see that. No, I've seen it all out of order. So Jonathan Groff plays the king?
Yeah, that should be our next podcast, as we watch Hamilton song by song in reverse.
Oh, God, you have no idea. It's, like, I hear, like... They jump, my kids watch it, and they just jump around from act to act in all, and they play their favorite.
I kind of do that, too.
Yeah, but it's weird, because I'll hear, like, Thomas Jefferson, and then they'll go back to, like, I'll Wait for It or something, and it's just, like, all out of order. So I really know at some point, you know, how it ends, but it's all mixed up to me, you know. It does seem like Hamilton isn't a great husband, I'll say that.
No, he's not. And actually, that's my one kind of gripe with the play, is they kind of make it seem like he's a victim for cheating on his wife.
Yeah, that makes me, I dislike that as well. I don't like how they made him, it's like, just don't do that, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, come on. She looks so ready. But how could I say no?
Yeah, it's like, just don't.
Literally, the song is like, I gotta learn to say no to this. How do I say no to this?
Just say no to it. That's it.
And I was like, hey, I don't know, man. Like, you're gonna get VD.
Yeah.
Back then.
Absolutely. So then, oh, yeah. So Jesse's about to kill him. And then Walt does, like, yeah, like a creepy Joker laugh at him and says, like, I've been waiting for Gus to send a man to come get me and kill me. And it's you. Because he made this, like, fake thing happen.
God, so I know I just kind of tried to explain the plan, but I'm trying to, like, walk through it in my head right now from Walt's point of view, from, like, the point of Twister Gun to this point.
Yeah.
And, like, okay, bear with me. I'm sorry. I'm like, okay, I need to get Jesse on my side. Oh, I have this Lily of the Valley plant in my backyard. If I poison that boy. That I saw just last night, and I make it seem like ricin, Jesse will assume it's me giving him ricin and come to kill me. But I'm confident I can convince him that Gus did it. But I don't want the boy to die, so I'm going to make the specific poison that simulates ricin symptoms. And I'm going to get Huell to steal the cigarette so Jesse has a little bit of doubt as well.
Yes. I think the Huell part of the plan is the easiest part of the plan.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And that, so later on, we can just assume the boy got into some berries. And that's what the Huell part of the plan facilitates.
It's just interesting because, like, there's so much to chance he really could have. I guess he was just going for broke either way. Like, if Jesse decided to kill him there, then Jesse would have just killed him and that would have been it. But he would have ended up dying anyways. I don't know.
Yeah. I bring it up a lot, but yeah, Joker from The Dark Knight is the first thing I think of when I think of this little scheme. It works. I mean, I can say this with confidence. I'm pretty sure there's nothing like major that happens like off screen in anymore.
Okay.
Going forward. Like, because I remember this felt like off because I was like, that doesn't really happen in Breaking Bad where like there's a twist that something happened off screen. Maybe I'm wrong. I could totally be forgetting.
Okay. But, well, that's good because, yeah, this one did throw me for a loop, or at least just like trying to track the logic of the plan. I mean, I have the bare bones of it, but.
It threw me for a loop. When this aired and in the episode where he's waiting for the vacuum repair guy and he like goes through his cigarettes and like is like putting together the pieces. Both times, I believe both my parents texted me when the episode was airing. It was like, you need to explain this to me. And even I was like, you do. A lot of faith in the viewers there, because it is a little bit of a long shot.
Well, I guess they always say, like, play to the height of intelligence of your audience. And so they were just assuming a real smart audience. I don't know.
I guess, but I'm not.
Yes, you are. You're very,
can
you
read. Can I tell you something? Yes. I didn't even read Gravity's Rainbow.
Do you just looked at the words?
I just looked at the words on every single page.
One at a time.
For the amount of hours it would feasibly take to read that book. But I never actually processed any of the information.
Well, that's still much closer to actually reading it than I would ever got close to.
Do you know what I did the entire time when I was pretending to read it? I was humming. I was humming Build Me Up Buttercup.
No. Yeah. For hours?
Hours and hours and hours and hours.
Wow.
Like 80 hours.
Wow.
Across several weeks.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. That sounds exhausting. Do you not think it might have just been easier for you to read the actual book?
I don't know, and I can't do it now. I can't do it now. Everyone thinks I read it.
Okay, yeah. Well, I don't want to take that from you. Mm-hmm. So, okay. All right.
And sometimes like my eyes would drift to some of the words. And I'd be like, this seems kind of good, but I'm in the middle of it. And I can't go back and read it. Or everyone will be like, weren't you in the middle of that book? And they'll think I'm a fucking idiot.
Well, are you a very public reader? Like, couldn't you just read quietly to yourself, like before bed?
Never.
Always nope. A show
always
about
it? Always in front
it?
Of people. Yeah. Usually at a party.
You sound really fun.
Usually at a bar or a party or a concert is when I like to read.
Makes sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a concert is the best place to read.
Yeah, I was at a Drake concert when I finished it.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
That's good. I do all my reading at Drake concerts.
It's good. It's a good place. I don't know. I feel so fucking dumb, but let's talk about Breaking Bad.
Okay, let's talk about Breaking Bad. So Jesse decides to, right then and there, he's not going to kill Walt. And he doesn't kill Walt in that moment. And they decide they're going to team up together and take care of Gus. So Jesse goes back to hang out at the hospital, as one does. And it's what's this character's name that comes and hassles him?
Tyrus.
Tyrus comes and he's like, hey, numbnuts, let's go. And Jesse goes, nope, I don't want to. And he starts to rough him up. And Jesse just yells like, this man's assaulting me. Help, I don't know him. And then Tyrus stomps off and he calls Gus. And then Gus shows up in a nice suit. They park in a parking garage.
The chap. Yeah, and they go to the chapel, right?
Yeah. And this was something where I was super, I don't know much about Gus. So when I say I find this scene confusing, it's not that I didn't understand what was happening, but I was surprised because Gus offered help. And then he was like, come back in like next week and we'll just, this batch is fucked up anyways. So yeah, you know what? You just come back when you're ready. And I was like, oh, is he have compassion a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, like, so I think when you're watching it in real time, for the first time, you're supposed to think like, maybe Gus did do this and you don't know 100% like poison this kid, for the reasons Walt laid out. And so you think maybe Gus is just covering his ass here.
Okay.
Like, faux compassion, but it turns out kind of real compassion.
That makes me feel weird about the fact that he was just blown up, but I don't know much about Gus. I've literally seen him get blown up and this. So it's like, wow, that blown up guy was nice, but right before he blew up, like, that's about it.
That scene where Jesse is like, I don't know this guy. Has that anything like that happened to you ever where you had to like be loud in public to get away from someone? Because that's happened to me. And like I had a flashback.
I did, but you know, I don't want to go into it on mic, but it is weird. Those moments are so like, it makes you feel like it, in my instance, like it made me feel like I was being a drama queen, but I needed to not be like in that situation anymore. So that was the only thing to make it stop. Right.
Yeah. Mine was a lady was following me around in a street, and then I got scared and I called I was walking home, but I decided to call a Lyft on a busy corner. And I think I told you this story.
This happened in LA?
Yeah, it happened in LA. I was like not far enough from my house, and this lady was just following me, and she was like mumbling, like, "I know who you fucking are," and I was like, "Ugh." And and then I got a lift, and the lift drove by me, and I was like, "God damn it!" But he pulled into a nearby parking lot, so I walked, I like hurry shuffled to the parking lot. And, well, no, I asked the lady, I was like, "Are you following me?" And she was like, "You know I am," and I was like, "Ah," and I got in the back of the lift and I was just like, "I don't know this woman. I don't know this woman. When the door shut, you need to drive." And I thought he was going to kick me out too, but he was nice. And she tried to get in the car with me and I had to shove her.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was scary.
That sounds really frightening. I'm so sorry that happened to you.
It's okay. That's, I was, yeah.
I just feel bad. That's all. That sounds really scary.
Yeah, it's like a little over a year ago, I think. It's you know, I just miss being outside with the strangers walking around. So, in these corona times.
Yeah, that's frightening. The world's
yeah,
weird.
Yeah, no, it was scary. I wondered what was going on in her head. She didn't look like crazy. She was dressed like a normal person.
Man, she must have thought you were someone else.
She inferred that I was like part of like a group of people who are like maybe watching her. So I don't feel bad digressing on the story because she seemed paranoid, which seems like a theme of this episode.
Yes. I will. Mm. Okay. I did have, here's an instance of this that happened where
ooh, dish.
I didn't know the person and I was like feeling really scared. I was at a Chuck E. Cheese in Rockford, Illinois, like 5-6 years ago. And my son was only like 2 at the time, but my daughter was 4 and a half. And she's kind of a bossy player. Like she, when she plays, yeah, my daughter is a little bit bossy.
I've seen.
Yeah. Like even now, 6 years later, she's still pretty bossy when she plays. And to the point where I'll be like, "Avery, geez." Like, so she was playing in like the tubes and she was playing some tag game with some other kids, and kids who were not involved in the tag game tried to play. And I think she was trying to tell them the rules, like, "You can't go there. That's not this or that." And then she ran off, like not even really thinking about it. And then this pissed off a little girl who then came by and like started kind of hassling my daughter. So I was like, I intervened and I said, "Okay, what's the problem here?" And the little girl like started getting really in my face and I kind of laughed and I was like, "Okay, we're all just going to chill out. We're going to go over here now." We walked away. And then later my daughter's like, "I'm thirsty." So I took her to like go to the vending machines for the soda, the soda fountain. And as we were doing that, some lady got right in my face and said, "You got a problem with my baby?" And like yelled at
it.
Shit. Like, and I went, "I'm sorry, what?" And she's like, you going to stand there looking like an idiot? Or you got a problem with my baby? I'll smack that look off your face. And I was like, and I just stared at her because I didn't know what to do. And then she went, "Wait, who was it?" And like just walked away seemingly to go start a fight with someone else. And I like went back to the people I was with for this little kid's birthday party and was like, "I have to leave this Chuck E. Cheese because I don't feel safe anymore." And I haven't been back to Chuck E. Cheese since. So that, I guess I didn't say like, "I don't know this woman," and like cause a scene, but I definitely was like, it's weird to feel that unsafe in public, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Weird, guys. Guys, stay safe out there.
And stay out of Chuck E. Cheese's, I think, in general.
I can't think of a worse place in pandemic times than a Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah, they're talking about reopening the Dave & Buster's, but I think a Chuck E. Cheese just even worse, you know?
Yeah, because Dave & Buster's, you can like, no, that's also super
You're
bad.
Not going to, none of it works.
Yeah. Gush.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, Gus, good guy, bad guy, we don't know.
It's a complicated character who shows some redeeming qualities towards the end
of
his life.
You like Gus so far?
What?
Do you like Gus so far?
It's a very limited... He seems very controlling, so I don't like that about him, but I was pretty thrown off by him being so compassionate here, so I liked that about him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then we had a quick scene in the kitchen where Walt's making some bomb shit.
Yes.
Before, and then later, Gus is going to his car, and which was clearly part of a scheme him and Jesse cooked up, because Jesse texted Walt on their cell phones.
Yeah, I got his attention.
He's like, "Yeah." And then Walt's over there with his little lame little binoculars.
Tiny little baby binoculars. Those must be like a special type that don't give off lens flare or something, I'm wondering.
Yeah, they were just dorky as hell.
Yeah, it definitely seems like something a dad would buy. Like when he has just too much money, like just a little bit too much money. And he's like, well, I'm going to need these good binoculars sometime for bird watching or something.
Yeah.
I'll keep these in my car.
That is spot on. Speaking of dads, I mentioned this in the chat, but I do want to point it out. Steve Gomez has the best dad costume on ever in the scene in the laundromat.
I think it's...
I don't mean to go backwards in the episode, but he has a cell phone clip, pleated khakis, and a polo shirt tucked in where you can see a little bit of his gut.
And also, his pants are pulled up pretty damn high. Like, yeah.
I love cell phone belt clips. I'll never, ever wear one, ever. But as like a truly authentic piece of Americana, I think they're wonderful.
I guess it was just like, people like to do this with their pagers, remember? I guess we'll try it out now. They'd have to like make them specially designed to the phone. Like that was the thing.
Yeah. They make them for iPhone. I remember the first person I ever knew who had an iPhone was a swim coach of mine in high school.
Okay.
And I remember like, damn, teachers get paid a lot. Cause he had an iPhone. And I was like, that's incredible. Like those are for like your Bill Gateses, your Condoleezza Rices. They get iPhones.
Yeah.
Not as common folk. And he had it in a little case.
Was it a waterproof case too?
No, just like the regular kind, I think. But I was like, let us play games on it.
Yeah, let's see the screen flip. How does it know? Let's do the thing where we pretend to drink a beer with it.
I forgot about that. You tip it up and it looks like it went in your body.
Yeah.
Oh, what a dumb thing.
So then as Gus is walking to his car slowly up through the parking garage, I think it would have made much more sense for him instead to put this on the car, to put it...
To throw it at him?
Yeah, or like in the elevator of the parking garage or something like that, or like on a car right next to his car and just time it where, I don't know, it seemed like it could have gone better.
You're right. But the thing is, how would he know which elevator? Because I'm assuming there's multiples in a hospital.
True.
And that's a lot more the potential for collateral damage, I guess, like someone else... In the elevator.
That's true. But he had no problem doing it in a nursing home. So with...
That is also true. He does not seem like one who cares much for civilian casualties.
Yeah.
Especially after Drew Sharp.
So, and then he... Gus is, as he's walking, gets a little tingling in his tummy, and he just uses his Gus senses and realizes it's not time to go into the car, and they walk away. He just feels like an entrapping situation approaching, I guess.
Yeah. Or you realize it's going to be a long drive and he had to take a huge dump.
That's true too. What if that was it? He was like, I got to go potty.
Could have been.
And then he just,
we don't really know where he goes. Yeah. All we know is in the next episode, he's back at his place. Presumably Walt immediately ran over and got his bomb back.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the end of the episode.
Yeah, it is. It's the end.
Yeah. Pretty paranoid, a little transition-y, but good stuff. Scary.
Yeah, there was a lot of tension in this, for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. This would be legitimate, probably B+.
Yeah, it's
for me.
A B+. It's for sure a B+. I mean, there's good acting, but it was jumbled and confused from my perspective.
Yeah, like the scene that makes the episode is the Jesse Waltz scene, and the rest is just kind of like moving pieces around.
Yeah.
We're in total agreement, and that's nice.
Well, after the kind of crazy arguments we've had the last few episodes.
Yeah, last week, we almost, me and Meg, almost
quit the podcast. That was the end of our friendship, almost, yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And you heard it all, everything on mic.
That
complete fight, that bare-knuckle brawl.
That was rough to deal with. I had, like, dreams afterwards, and I wake up in a cold sweat just reliving it. I couldn't handle it. But now I'm okay.
Yeah, it was embarrassing for you because we were FaceTiming and then I saw that you had that dartboard with my picture on it and you were throwing darts at it.
Yeah.
Should we mention some heroes?
Yes, please.
We got two heroes. We have T.C. Warner with no photo on IMDb, but she plays a friend of ours named Pediatric Nurse.
Oh, she's good at keeping people out of places.
Yeah, she is, because Jesse's all in there, and she's like, no, 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 no.
And she knew his name, Mr. Pinkman. I'm going to have to get you the fuck out of here if you don't knock this shit off.
Now, old T.C. Warner, not old T.C. Warner. Well, she's born in 1970s. She's a little older. Ah, that's so mean. No, T.C. Warner, nice lady, is in a bunch of shit.
Oh, good for her.
She was, yeah, she's in a bunch of shit in the 90s. Whoa. This is actually cool. For the Under Fives, I literally look at these while we're recording, everyone. And sometimes I do get like, whoa, what? No, she's in a bunch of fucking shows. She was in Married with Children. She was a main character on All My Children. Did you ever watch that?
No, my mom watches stuff like that, though.
She was, I don't even know what it is. I've heard of it.
It's a soap opera. Daytime television. Oh, okay, well,
she played Kelsey Jefferson.
I don't know about that.
Me neither. And then she played Kelsey Jefferson from 1995 through 1998. Then she was in a home video called Diary of a Sex Addict as Ms. Storm. Then, that was in 2001, nothing until 2011, where she plays pediatric nurse on a show called Breaking Bad.
Maybe she had kids or something and she was a stay-at-home mom. Maybe she...
Oh! She must live... Okay, so she falls into the category of, I say... presumably lives in Albuquerque, because later on she will show up in Better Call Saul as hospital nurse.
So she's a local hire.
Local hire, for sure. And then she's filming something called The Man Who Thought He Was Salvador Dali. I like Salvador Dali. I like all those clocks melting.
Okay, well then that's the show for you. Or a movie.
We'll do an episode watching that whenever it's done. You guys got to finish filming it.
Let's figure out. Go with the guidelines.
We will watch this. If you can make it. She's third billed in it.
Oh, wow.
So she's got a pretty big part.
All right.
All right. All right, one hero down. TC, come on the podcast. next one, he's got a photo, so presumably. Probably in LA. I don't know. He's the man with the plan.
The cigarette man?
If the plan is, get smoking, lady smoking. I love it. His IMDb photo... Obviously on IMDb, your name's right there. It's IMDb. But the photo he used is his headshot, presumably that he actually hands out to people because it has his name on the photo in the bottom
good,
left corner.
Good, yes, good.
Love it. Love it. I know your name twice, Matt Berlin.
Matt, thank you for letting us know your deal.
Dude, you fucking... Oh, my God. He's in one of my favorite movies of all time.
Inception.
No, MacGruber.
Okay, yeah.
I legitimately love MacGruber, and he's in it. He has henchmen uncredited.
Oh, he has a henchman vibe to him. He kind of got a doofy vibe.
Ooh. We gotta shut our mouths or we'll get in some trouble here. He was in another episode of Breaking Bad.
Oh, we can't. We gotta stop this.
We can't. He was in the episode we just watched, also as DEA agent, presumably, with no lines.
Oh, just like hanging around the house or something?
Yeah, I think he was just chilling because we would have brought him up if he...
had lines. Because our system is faultless.
Just hang out over here. And, yeah, I have a cigarette. There's two lines. But anyway, I guess we're already doing it. He was in something called Crossed Lines.
Was he a goon in that one, too?
2018. He's not in a whole lot. And he is a post-production something called Biomass. Looks like he has 4 producing credits, so good for him.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, he has a demo reel.
But not right now.
Kind of want to watch it. But not right now. I'll check it out and let you guys know my thoughts later. Demo reels are hard to put together. They're really expensive and they're not, a lot of them won't work. And they tend to look shitty because if you have to have a demo reel, it means your work isn't like crazy good yet. And demo reels are weird.
Or you've had to a lot of co-stars and under fives to.
And I've seen this happen and you pay a lot of money to film scenes that aren't a part of anything just so you look like you're in something professional to have for your demo.
No shit. I know you've a lot seen of people that, done do that? That.
Oh yeah. My God. And they look great. I have a friend who's done that and it looks great. It got her work.
Okay.
Yeah. Her name's Jenna. We worked at UCB together.
Wow.
She gives off a lot of, I hope she's listening. Jenna, I hope you're listening. You're great. but she was like helping me out with some stuff and she showed me her demo reel. And I was like, what the fuck were you in? This looks amazing. And she's like, no, I spent a ton of money and we filmed these scenes.
Oh, wow.
That are like 5 seconds each just for this demo reel.
Jesus. Wow.
Yeah. Guys, the business. It's not for the faint of heart.
No. It's brutal. Mm-hmm.
but yeah. I got a dog scratching on my door.
Okay.
We're talking for about an hour.
Sounds good. Are we? Did we do all the heroes for now?
Yeah, there's just two heroes.
All right.
In this episode, and one was not really a hero. Turns out.
Okay. So then, until next time.
Until next time.
A mighty good
Heisenberg
to you.
To you.
Fair listener.
Goodbye forever. Bye. Love you. Bye.